The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. We had our first snow in the mountains last night, so getting ready for ski season.
Oh, fantastic. Which mountains are you in?
The Rocky Mountains in Montana. I live in Bozeman, Montana, and then our closest ski areas are called Big Sky and the Bridger Mountains, which are kind of on both sides, so like a half hour from home.
What a beautiful part of the world. I've actually caught some trout up in Montana.
Oh, good. Nice.
Yeah,
I just moved here in December, so I was kind of born and raised in Chicago and lived in downtown Chicago for most of my life, and then it kind of got too violent and too scary to live there last year. So we moved to the mountains.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that around the world. They've actually really taken stock of where they want to live, how they want to live.
Right.
And how they want to, how they want to look after themselves. And I feel like we're going to take a exploration into how to look after ourselves, especially our gut today with you, Doctor. And how I would love to get your understanding on the gut and what you've learned over the years, and in some beautiful digestible bites for our listeners and viewers, because it's been quite some time. I have to just point this out. Over the last year and a half to 2 years since this whole change of narrative has happened in the world, I've more been focused on speaking to doctors about how to deal with viruses, and a lot of solutions-based podcasts. And I feel like it's time now again to go back to, I don't want to say the basics, but back to the foundational principles of how to stay healthy, because I believe now more than ever, with the assault on humanity from all, from everywhere, that having a healthy gut is one of the most important things we can have right now.
I 110% agree. Hippocrates said it 3,000 years ago, all disease begins in the gut. And basically, since he said that, everything we've done is destroy our guts. And I mean, he didn't have the lab testing that we have now, like to look at your microbiome, to test for SIBO, to do all these things. And he still knew that that's where everything started. And I mean, just everything we've done, the medications, the antibiotics, the stress, the genetic modification of our food, the environmental toxins, it's all destroying our guts. And I think that the most important digestible bit that I like to share about the gut is the inside of your gut is considered outside of your body. So the gut is a tube that starts with the mouth and ends with the anus. There's openings on both ends. It's made of your mouth, esophagus, stomach, small intestine, and large intestine. Your pancreas, liver, and gallbladder are all connected. But it works like your skin. But that's not how people treat it, right? It is part of your innate immunity, which is your immunity that protects you without learning. So it's just our protective mechanism that we're born with. And so the gut decides what comes into the body and what stays out. On the other side of that tube is the bloodstream tube. And so once something crosses your gut barrier and into your blood, it's now in your body. And what's waiting in your bloodstream is your immune system. And because of what we've done to our food supply, gluten doesn't look the way it used to. Soy doesn't look the way it used to. And so the immune system sees these proteins and attacks. And now you've got inflammation in the blood. Well, what happens with the blood? It goes everywhere from your head to your toes. You need your bloodstream to carry oxygen to keep the different parts of your body alive. If we let inflammation into the bloodstream through the gut, I could take 100 patients with candida or SIBO or dysbiosis or a gluten sensitivity, and every one of them has a different symptom. And it's like, how? Or the symptoms can change. Well, that's because your gut barrier was damaged, leaky gut, or you just overexposed yourself to too many toxins, and your immune system is defending your body, you know? And so food sensitivities are on the rise, but it's almost like an appropriate response because of what we're eating. So that is something that I feel like sometimes is overlooked. And like, just to me, like the most basic understanding about the gut, that's not like the way I grew up thinking about it. It's not the way like that. I feel like that should be taught like as a basic principle, like early on in school. And I think that when people think about it that way, they'll treat it differently, right? Because if we'll wash our hands 10 times a day, but then we throw anything in our gut tube, the skin is thick. The gut barrier is not.
Great explanation. And it's interesting, especially, I mean, I will bring it up over the last 18 months. It seems that people that are succumbing to whatever it may be, whether it be a virus or an adverse reaction to potential medical intervention, seems to be the people that have comorbidities. So they're already in a compromised state. And I know there has been some studies out there, if we take the virus, for instance, and the people that have the comorbidities, obesity and type 2 diabetes, as well as other inflammatory diseases or illnesses, seem to be the thing that pushes people over the edge, whether it be death or whether it be hospitalization. And it doesn't seem to be a mainstream message yet that we need to look after our bodies instead of trying to wait for somebody else to look after them. So talk to me about how do you talk to your patients when, if they come in to see you with comorbidities, potentially obese or overweight, and you have to basically educate them as to how to eat, perhaps right, after 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of possibly unintentionally poisoning themselves.
Right. I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying. And me as a functional medicine doctor, when we started learning about COVID and we started seeing that, you know, the people at greatest risk were people with chronic disease, to me, I got really excited and I was like, you know, this is the shift that we needed. This is going to wake people up to their health and how important it is to get healthy so you don't have to worry about a virus. And, you know, it seems like it's gone in the opposite direction. In America, we give out free donuts and free beer if you get vaccinated. So it's just not, I don't know. I know that there's a percentage of the population that is awake or has woken up and sees the importance of their health. But I know that, it's not the mainstream thought process. And I can't make sense of that. Why we're not promoting health, promoting diet, promoting like protection against viruses or other things naturally. But when people come into me, I have a little bit of an unfair advantage. People know me as a functional medicine doctor. They come in very motivated. They come in knowing that I'm going to change their diet or that I'm going to order testing or we're going to implement lifestyle interventions. A funny thing I've seen a number of times is that people tell me is like, I knew I was coming to see you tomorrow. So yesterday I had like ice cream for dinner, cake for lunch, and like donuts for breakfast. But because I'm like, they're like, I know that you're going to change my diet. This is not how that works. This is not like a crash fad, like, okay, I'm going to binge on sweets and then I'm going to clean up for a month. My residency and my training and my work as a regular family practice doctor was in the inner city in Chicago. And so I think I worked quite a bit with people that don't have that knowledge, that don't have that understanding that their food impacts their health, right? That what you're eating determines how your immune system functions. They don't have that knowledge. So in general, I think our greatest job as practitioners is education. And that is why I wrote my book. I'm just so passionate about it because if there's so many people that just don't know, right? If you don't have that knowledge that, you know, that if you're not eating fresh vegetables and fruit, that your immune system is not going to get what it needs to function. I can't really blame you for going to McDonald's, right? Because it's cheaper than, and like something we deal with in Chicago in the city is food islands, where you can look at square mile blocks where there's not access to any fresh produce. And so a lot of people in the inner city just don't have options. So in general, my job as a functional medicine doctor is not that difficult. People, you know, functional medicine only works if you work it, right? So a lot of times we'll have a wife call my practice for her husband, or a son call for his dad, or a parent call for a kid. And our policy is always, we need to talk to the individual. Because early on in my career, I learned that if people came in and they're dragging their feet and you have no interest in being there, it's basically like my wife brought me here, it doesn't work out. Like functional medicine does not work if you don't put in the effort. But with the education, I think it motivates people to put in that effort.
Mm. Why do you think this isn't taught in schools? Why do you think this is not common knowledge? I mean, you have been in this space for so long. And
yeah,
it seems, as you said, it seems like we're heading in the opposite direction over the last 18 months when we had this wonderful opportunity for the world to understand about functional medicine, about how diet impacts our health.
Yeah.
And for me, I'd have to say I'd agree that we've gone in the complete opposite direction. More and more people have no idea about health.
Right.
It's like this divide is becoming even wider between,
right. I agree,
the people that look after themselves. And I'm not judging people here for doing this because everybody is on their own journey. But what troubles me is, we've seen censorship over the last year and a half with such things as vitamin C on YouTube and turmeric on YouTube and these types of things that if this continues down the slippery slope with censorship and natural immunity, even the hashtag, I believe, being taken off Instagram or whatever it may be, that we're heading towards a cliff as far as a healthy population. And I'm not sure how that's going to reverse or change course, especially after what's just transpired over the last 18 months. Or do you have hope still that it can change direction?
So why I think this is happening, this is my view from coming from a traditional medicine background, right? And in traditional medical school and residency, we are taught basically like the system, right? We learn the anatomy. We learn how things work. We learn the biochemistry. We learn how those things can go wrong. And then we learn what medications fix what goes wrong, right? And so to me, the money is in the pharmaceutical industry. And so my opinion, my experience is that medicine is basically taught by the pharmaceutical industry. All the evidence-based medicine that we learn always ends in a drug. And so I think the money and the power are in getting people sick and keeping them sick, right? So we want people to get sick, and then we want to keep them alive as long as possible. That's the pharmaceutical industry business model. It's an amazing business model. They are as rich as you could ever be. The functional medicine business model is terrible. We spend more than you would at your initial visit with your regular doctor. But then in 3 months and 6 months and 12 months, you don't need me anymore. I don't have return customers. Like, we get healthy and then you forget about me. And that if that's the way our society was kind of tailored, then the people with the money and power that kind of want to keep that would lose that, because we wouldn't have people relying on Alzheimer's drugs that cost $58,000 a year. Or, you know, people wouldn't be dependent on 3-5 medications a day. So, I mean, there's not, you know, the same kind of money in using supplements or using diet. And so that's my belief, why this is happening. When I started training in functional medicine, I mean, I never dreamed that this is what I would do. I was very traditional minded, and I just kind of randomly got lucky and found it. But after my first lecture, the first hour in, I was like, just looking around, like, holy cow, like, why haven't I like learned this? Why this all makes sense? Like, why is this not being taught to me? Well, I had to spend a lot of time and a lot of money to completely change the way that I think. I mean, I did all your traditional medical training, and I didn't know anything about gut health. I didn't know anything about nutrition, about environmental toxins and how they can damage your body. I mean, I didn't know any of that. And in now, I mean, I've been in functional medicine for 10 years. I mean, I have endless stories of people that had chronic disease, had chronic gut issues, had chronic neurologic issues, hormonal issues, autoimmune disease, autistic children that now are talking with their parents and having full conversations. And it's basically all through treating our environment. It's treating what we're doing to our bodies through what we're putting into our environment. So it's been an eye-opening experience. And I don't know why else would this not be taught in medical school? Literally people's chronic disease is turning around. People are getting off of these meds. Why wouldn't this be the goal? And I think it just comes down to money and power.
So again, are you hopeful? Do you think there's a shift yet? Or do you think it's coming? Or is it every man, woman, and child for themselves at the moment? And because I question this most days, especially the last year and a half. Like, come on, this is the opportunity here. This is the real opportunity at the moment. And we see glimpses of it. we see these cracks starting to appear in some of the traditional or old systems. But I just wonder if there's enough momentum or impetus on the individual or the communities to actually stand up yet, to shout out or to help their fellow family. Like you said, people are ringing you up to ask for their husband or their mother or their children to get help. So are you hopeful? Is there a glimmer of hope in America?
It depends on who you talk to and what you watch, you know, like depends on what news station you turn on, or if you just don't turn on the news. The functional medicine world to me can sometimes feel really big. That it's, you know, there's a lot of people thinking this way and believing this, but then you like go to an amusement park like Disney World or something, and you look at the food that they're serving, and I mean, even they have now like the calories on most meals, right? And it's kind of shocking of these meals that I grew up eating too, and to see that, and then people still order all of it. I have to have hope. I mean, I know that. I mean, I have a busy practice, and I have people from all different backgrounds that are coming in that are like, listen, I want to get my health under control. I heard a podcast about functional medicine. I saw something about functional medicine. Like, I've been in the regular medicine model for 10 years, 20 years, and I just keep getting worse. So, I mean, there's the more of this that happens, right? The more that we promote the bad eating, the toxins, the lack of self-care, the lack of focus on mental, emotional, and spiritual health, the more people are going to get sick. And the more people that are going to get sick that are going to get tired of relying on medications and other things to live, they'll find it. They'll find their way out. And me personally, like my own story is like I'm in recovery from alcohol abuse, and I had to hit rock bottom before I was willing to change. And 99% of the patients that I work with have hit rock bottom with their health. And they're like, listen, I'm willing to do anything now. So I think that the more that the mainstream does what they're doing, I think it'll push people, whether they want to be or not, whether they just want to live into a different way of thinking.
I couldn't agree more. It's something that I've been saying for a long time is I don't think we're at rock bottom yet as a population or society. I mean, I'm generalizing, but for us to change, we've seen some pretty wild things over the last year and a half, including lockdowns and mask wearing and implementing vaccines against people's will. And so they have to take it or they lose their job or their livelihoods. And we're seeing pushback now, especially the last couple of days in Victoria. And people have said to me, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I don't think we're at rock bottom yet. I said, when people have nothing left, that's when the change is going to happen. When they come to you, the 99% that say, I'm at rock bottom, I'll do anything now. And perhaps this is the invitation here, but it could get pretty messy over the coming years. I don't have a time frame for this or how many generations it's going to take. But ideally, we want to get into the space of prevention so we don't have to hit rock bottom. And I'm sure that's where you focus your energies now too, which is where I focus my energies pretty much, is the prevention, so that we don't have to hit rock bottom. But unfortunately, for some, rock bottom is where the true change happens. So let's talk about prevention, if you don't mind, because I'm sure, like most functional medical doctors, that's where you'd like to be in preventing people from having to hit rock bottom. So take us through, if this is somebody's first podcast or vodcast listening to a functional medical doctor talk about the gut, take them through the journey here, a beginner's course on how they can identify what is wrong, perhaps, and then the tips or guide or solutions that they could look into, because I know it's multifaceted.
Right. So as a regular family practice doctor, I was taught to listen to you, listen to your symptoms, and then figure out what pill is going to make your symptoms go away or make them less, right? As a functional medicine doctor, my patients fill out 40 pages of intake paperwork before we meet, and I go through that. We spend an hour and a half together usually. And what we're trying to figure out is, what does your body have too much of and what does your body not have enough of? So some common things that we don't have enough of: vitamin D, sleep, exercise, kind of some of the basic stuff. In women, the most common thing in premenopausal women is estrogen dominance. So they don't have enough progesterone. Because of all the toxins, now men in their 30s or lower have low testosterone, right? And if you're 29 and your testosterone's low, you're not going to feel optimal. You're going to be confused, and you're not going to know why you're not feeling like you should, like your friends do. So part of it is identifying what does the body not have enough of. And then my favorite thing to talk about is self-care and self-love, and just not enough of acknowledging that how much our mental, emotional, and spiritual health plays a role on our physical health. And then from the other side, what do we have too much of? The first, there's five areas: food, and we look for food sensitivities. And so we can talk about an elimination diet and food sensitivities, but that's something that everybody should do. Everybody should do an elimination diet, because food sensitivities, if you have them, are delayed hours to days after eating the food. So people are more familiar with allergies or celiac disease. Those are the three main responses, right? We could be allergic, we could have celiac disease, and we can have sensitivities. It's a different type of immune antibody that's created. Well, allergies and celiac are pretty easy to identify and diagnose because it happens right after you eat the food, right? Like somebody doesn't make it to 20 years old and not know that they're allergic to peanuts. Sensitivities, since they are delayed hours to days after eating the food, I could be sensitive to gluten, and I eat a bagel every day for breakfast, and I feel great. I feel fine, but I'm dealing with chronic depression, and I've got eczema, and I've got migraines, and I go to my regular doctor and I get a migraine pill, I get steroids for the eczema, and I keep eating the bagel every day. And again, I'm never going to know. If I don't do an elimination diet, I'm never going to know that that's what's making me sick. So the top offending foods, and this is all listed in my book, but it's gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, and sugar are kind of the main offenders that we look for. Other things that we cut out are pork, beef, shellfish, processed meats, coffee, alcohol. So that's kind of a full elimination diet. You cut those foods out for 21 days, and then you add them back in one by one using a tracking journal. And so when I first learned about this, I was like, why 21 days? Did we just make up a number that sounded good? And no, it's based on science. Everything in your body has a half-life. And so if your pharmaceutical medications, your hormones your own body makes, street drugs, alcohol, tobacco, environmental toxins like lead and mercury, everything has a half-life. And that's how long it takes us to clear something. The half-life of IgG antibodies is 21 days. So if I had that bagel for breakfast today and I have 100 antibodies floating around, if I don't have any gluten for 21 days, my antibody count will drop in half to 50. My immune response has been cut in half. On day 22, when I eat gluten again, my immune system is going to identify it pretty much right away and be like, hey, this is a problem, and attack. and I will get symptoms. So that tracking journal, when you're reintroducing the food, is broken down by your head, by your gut, by your skin, by your energy, by your sleep. You might get symptoms you don't even normally get. Like, you might have gone into the elimination diet because of migraines, but when you reintroduce gluten, you could get breakout in a rash. And that's still a sensitivity. So that is something, and then that changes over time. So I like people to, like me and my wife.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.